So we're going to continue in our sermon series this week, where we're talking about growing in wisdom, what it means to grow in wisdom. And wisdom is not just IQ. It's not about IQ. It's not about intelligence. It's about emotional maturity. People who are wise are emotionally mature. So we've been talking about all arenas and how we can act wisely to the glory of God, because life is tough. You have good days. You have bad days, you have storms, you have temptations, and you got to know how to navigate them well. You got to know how not to respond foolishly and sinfully. So what we're going to talk about today is how to navigate friendship well, because not many people realize the importance of friendship, especially in this culture. We're becoming more and more isolated. Some of them might get to the point where I don't want any more friends because I don't want to deal with them. I'm sick of human relationships. I'm sick of people hurting me. I don't want any more friends. I don't want to deal with it. Today, I want to encourage you through the gospel to be a friendly person, to realize God designed friendship for His glory and our joy, and to make friends, and how to navigate the whole friendship thing. Because the truth is, you shouldn't be friends with some people. Now, you should love them. You should care for them. But some people shouldn't hang out with because it's causing you to act foolishly and unholy and leading you down a path of destruction. So we just want to navigate that today and talk through that today. But I want to talk to you about some statistics that actually blew my mind. So I thought friendship, to be honest, I told you guys this before, in my genetics, part of my father's makeup, the dude has one friend. His name is Waxy. If you meet Waxy, you've met all my father's friends. Everyone else is an acquaintance. Like my future brother-in-law, just met him the other day at a bar in Newtown. That's where I have to meet my father at bars. And he says, listen, this is Waxy. You're officially in the family now because you met Waxy. That's what he said to my future father-in-law. So I want us to get out of the mindset that I can only have maybe a handful of friends, maybe two friends. Everyone else, I want nothing to do with you because you don't meet my standards. As Christians, we're called to be the friendliest people in the world, not only to love our friends deeply, to love our enemies deeply, to pray for those who spitefully use us and talk about us. So this is an important thing. But these statistics, and these are secular statistics, so they talk about some stuff that maybe I'm not hitting today, but this is they did this kind of study, and this is what they came up with. The causes of modern social problems, from divorce to homelessness to obesity, are often thought to be based in areas such as poverty, stress, and unhappiness. But researchers suggest we are overlooking something extremely crucial. Friendship. Can you believe that's what they came up with? Friendship. It would appear that as a society, we're ignoring the importance of friendships. They took another study of friendship along with several leading researchers. The work resulted in surprising statistics. If your best friends, they're talking a lot about eating and stuff here. This is just in it. I'm not trying to hit that today. If your best friend eats healthy, you're 5 times more likely to have a healthy diet yourself. Married people say that friendship is 5 times more important than physical intimacy within marriage. Those who say they have no real friends at work have only a 1 in 12 chance of feeling engaged at their job. Conversely, if you have a best friend at work, you are 7 times more likely to feel engaged at your job. That's how important friendship is. It doesn't end there. You want to live longer? Have a lot of friends. It says most people are aware that proper nutrition, exercise, and regular checkups promote good health. But you know that friendship is just as important. Statistics show that people who enjoy healthy relationships suffer fewer incidences of cancer, stroke, heart disease, and circulatory disorders. They just live longer. That's how important friendships are. So I want you guys to hear that. That's just a study to show how important of it is, but also to hear from the Bible how important it is in Proverbs. So it's tough being a dad. All right, you guys hear I give a lot of stories from being a dad. My daughter, my youngest, just started preschool this year, and she's a little more reserved than my older daughter. My older daughter just walks in like, hey, blah, blah, blah. She'll talk to just talking to everyone like, hey, I know you, who? Just pointing at people. Kira just walks in. She thinks someone's up to everything. She's just like, what are you trying to get? What are you out? You're not being real. It's all about. My buddy one time said he liked cupcakes. She said, you're just saying that because you want to be my friend. I was like, what 3-year-old says that? What 3-year-old says that? So I knew as she went into preschool that it wasn't socially, she could play by herself. She could literally go play by herself for the whole month of March and be like, what a great month. That's how she rolls. So she gets into the class, and she has some acquaintances, but they don't have what they call in preschool, they call an anchor. When you get a friend who's like an anchor, they're anchor. They're your best friend. They help you navigate the waters of preschool. And it's been hard on me and my wife because it's not like the kids are being absolutely mean to them. There's one girl that kicked her. And as a dad, if someone kicks your kid in preschool, I was ready to roll up in there like I'm stealing everyone's toys up in here. Who kicked my dog? Like, I couldn't deal with it. I was like in my car, like, how do you intimidate 5-year-old? I didn't know. Steal toys? I don't know. But I was like, I can't deal with this right now that my daughter is going through this. Someone kicked my daughter. It was in the lower leg. And so what happened recently is she was going into school, and she'd walk in, and when she got there, say if there were 4 kids there, one day there were 4 kids there, and no one came up and said hi to her. And she just went over, and she just started playing alone. And so I get calls from my wife, and she said, you know, sometimes crying, like, this is hard for me to watch. It's hard to drop her off in this environment where people aren't being friendly to her. And so I basically told my wife to man up because I couldn't deal with it. You ever have those moments? I was like, man up, this is just preschool. We got to deal with it. Then I called her back like, I'm sorry, I just can't deal with this. You know what I mean? And so it made me think as I was preparing for this message at every age, not just in preschool, how important it is to have friends and be friendly to people. We need friends. You know, in our society nowadays, it's like we look up to the independent guy who doesn't need any friends. I don't need nobody. I'm independent man. I'm independent woman. We're not made to function like that. And that's not healthy at all. We're made to have friendships to the glory of God for our joy. So I want to encourage you as we think through a topic. You don't really talk about this in church a lot. But if you're going to talk about wisdom, you've got to talk about navigating friendships well. So I just want to read some stuff from the book of Proverbs, some scriptures. We won't tackle them all today, just so you get an idea what Proverbs says about friendships. It says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. We'll tackle that one a little more. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. We'll talk about that. Are there certain friendships we should stay away from because it's detrimental to us? Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So let's talk first about how unhealthy it is to be isolated, to be alone. Because there's a temptation to pull back, right, guys? I'm hurt. I don't want to be around people. Believe me, guys, I had a run of this myself. I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I'll hang out with my wife. She's good to go, right? She made the cut. There may be a few other choice people that I need limited time with, right? You know the people on limited time? You've got 24 hours over the next 3 months. That's it. I can't spend any more time with you. And I realized that was not healthy. That will destroy you when you isolate yourself. When God made man originally, when he made Adam in his image, Adam, I'm just going to tell you a little what I think was going on. I think Adam was an elite athlete, fitness shape, whatever that means. That brother was just made by God. Right? He's got all the pets in the world, right? You think it's cool petting a Rottweiler, his brother's petting lions, maybe hyenas, I don't like hyenas, whatever. Perfect environment, no sin, healthy, he doesn't wake up with a sniffle, right? Life's good, right? He doesn't answer to anyone, what are you doing, what are you doing today, what's your schedule? He just says, I'm doing whatever the heck I want to. What does God look down and say about Adam? He said, it is not good for this dude to be alone. He makes that statement. God surveys the situation and says, it's not good for man to be alone. He needs a companion. He needs community. And I'm going to put him in it. God says that. We need to be in community. We need to be in friendships. This is so important because many people isolate themselves in so many ways. So there's different variations of isolation. There's people just totally, I'm going to be by myself. Then there's people, I'm going to be by myself except for maybe some of my family. Then there's people, I'm going to isolate myself from church. I don't really need a church community. I can figure this thing out on my own, right? And God says, don't forsake the gathering, not because he's trying to condemn you, because you need friends, you need community, you need pastors, you need brothers, you need sisters, you need friends. We need friends for a few purposes, and I want to talk about a few of them. One is to play. You know, I'm learning this myself. I thought after, you know, I hit my 20s, maybe 30s, I don't need to play anymore. Right? I'm like, I'm just a pastor, right? I'm walking around stoic. I don't need nothing. I don't need to play. I don't need friends. Who wants to get? I don't play board games. I intercede for people. You know what I mean? I'm realizing that's not healthy for me. I got to hang out with people. I got to play. I got to have fun. I got to have laughs. I signed up for softball again. It's on. But I'm more, the gospel has got my heart, so I'm not going to be so competitive. I'll be gospel-centered competitive. But I realized, like, I want to play dodgeball on Sky Zone yesterday, bouncing off the things. 35-year-old man bouncing on a thing, throwing ball, dodgeball at my future brother-in-law's birthday. I said, man, I needed that. I needed to play. I needed to hang out with people. You ever hear those guys in East Boston still this day in the 80s, some of them just hit 90, they still get together every week to play ice hockey? Every week. Because they need that camaraderie, they need that companionship, they need that friendship. Part of having friends is having fun together. You should have a blast when you're a Christian, when you're following Jesus, when you get together. You should have good times, you should have laughs, you should play, you should have a good time. It's important for you to do that in your life and have that part of your rhythms. Secondly, you need to have conversations with people. We were not made not to talk to people. Now, every time I work in Boston, there's like 15 people talking to themselves. You guys ever realize that? You go down to Boston, I'm sticking at Dunkin' Donuts with my buddy. We're doing a job. The dude next to me is having a better conversation, but it's only him at the table. That's what people do when they don't have healthy friendships. They just start talking to themselves. And it's sad because, you know, mental illness. But it's sad. People start talking to themselves because you have to have conversation. You have to talk to people. You have to share your pains. You have to share your struggles. You have to share your joys. You have to encourage people. You need conversation. Every time I go to Honeydew to get that box of coffee, there's these old brothers just talking about whatever. Today was chicken. They were like, you get this chicken sandwich at this plate, gonna blow your mind. Every time I go, they meet there every Sunday to talk because they need to have conversation. That is hugely helpful for your life. You need to talk to people. I need to talk to people. We were made that way. You need other people to have a good conversation. Thirdly, you need counsel. It is not healthy in your life if you make all your decisions by yourself. There is wisdom in a multitude of counsel. We need people who we know love us, care for us, are for us, aren't biased, that give us counsel for our life, that we know what path to go on. How can we glorify God? What is the will of God? Who's going to speak honest to me with no agenda and say, help me navigate this? We need counsel in our life. We need people to talk to. You shouldn't have make decisions by yourselves. You should have friends that you can talk to. And choose them wisely. I've learned some people I just can't go to talk to about counsel anymore because it's not helpful. It turns into a negative thing, and I said, I can't counsel here. People who you love, people who you know can be trusted, people who you know don't have their own agenda, who can counsel and love you and help you navigate the waters of life. Fourthly, you need encouragement. You know, you can talk to yourself even days that soul believe, soul be lifted up. You can pump your head up like, come on, I can do this. It's so much more powerful when one of your friends who loves you says, you can do this. I'm here for you. I know you're falling, but I'm with you. You can make it. There's no condemnation. The gospel is true. I'm with you. You go down, I go down. You go, I go. Backdraft. One of the top 90 movies. And I just want to read to you about one of the closest relationships in the Bible that we see. And that is the story of David and Jonathan, right? So I just want to read you and give you a little short summary of what happened with David and Jonathan. Jonathan was supposed to be the king. Can you imagine? You're the king. You're the son of the king of all of Israel, God's covenant people. You're next in line. Right? David comes along. He gets anointed as king as king by Samuel, right? I want to ask you if you would be okay with that, that David was taking your spot. Okay, I thought I was going to be king, but I'm not going to be the king. I'll do something else, man. I'll work the yard. Jonathan didn't have those kind of eyes. He didn't say, this is mine. You're not taking it away from me. He didn't say, this is my title. I was born. It's my blood. It's my, I own this. You can't come in here. He said, if God has chosen David to be the king, he's going to be the king. It's not for me to take. Who am I to war against God? I love this man and I'm going to fight for him. And his father was trying to kill David. So there's two different responses. Jonathan say, if God anointed him to be king, who am I to get war against God? Then you have Saul saying, no, I'm the king. And he's throwing spears at him at the table, trying to kill him. To the point that Jonathan had to help David get out of there because his father's trying to kill him and escape. And David was just broken down because he was in with the king. He was fighting with the armies. He was one of them. Then all of a sudden he's on the run for 11 years because the king's trying to kill him. But who was fighting with him the whole time? Jonathan. Jonathan was on the side. And one time David was so low, and this is what Jonathan done. And I'm just going to read from 1 Samuel 23, 15 through 18. He said, David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, do not fear, David, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel. I will be next to you at your right hand. Saul, my father, also knows this. And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. David remained at Horesh, and Jonathan went. Imagine David had no friend to come and encourage him in that. If you read some of the Psalms, David was writing them just in mourning and depression and anxiety, just writing, I'm a mess. I need help. God, don't forsake me. Then you have a friend coming in and saying, don't fear. I'm with you. You don't get that if you're not in healthy friendships. See, what healthy gospel-centered friendships do, people come along and help us fulfill God's will for our lives, and we do the same for them. Good friends say, no, stay on the path. You're called to do this. You're going to glorify God. Don't give up. Do not fear. I've got your back. That's what good friends, healthy friends do. Now, Proverbs, because it's all about wisdom and navigating things well, it talks about certain friends we shouldn't have. And so I want to say this with balance in an application portion. I'll talk about, listen, Jesus was a friend of sinners. We should be friends with everybody. We're all sinners, so if you're friend with someone, you're really friend of a sinner. But we should be friends with everyone. We should live what we call missional lifestyles with people who are unchurched, people who don't believe. But our closest friendships, we should cultivate those when they're rooted in Jesus Christ, because you have the most in common now. And so that I'll tackle that in a second, but I want to talk about Proverbs. It says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. Does anyone know that dude or that woman you can't bring out because they're going to start something? Do you guys know that person? Like, it don't matter what's going down. The waiter could give him a cherry instead of a strawberry, and it's going down. The cops are in there. You're walking out like, what just happened? We ordered a pie. Certain people just are drama filled. They, no matter what happens, they're going to start drama, they're going to cause drama, they're going to do it. It doesn't matter. Proverbs says, make no friends with these kind of people because they're going to bring you down, they're going to hurt you. And sometimes in your life as a Christian, and it's funny, Dennis, I'm not putting you on the spot today, but I'm talking about friendship. This wasn't planned, this was on the schedule months ago, and Dennis comes. And I was going to talk about this before Dennis comes, but there came a time when I was 18, and I told Dennis, I told my other buddies that I did not, I don't think I navigated this one great. I have some regrets on how I handled it, but when I was 18 years old, I realized that I couldn't hang around with the same friends because I loved them deeply. We were the best. To this day, the amount of laughs we had, the amount of good times we had was unbelievable, but I realized it was nothing to even do with just them. It was I wasn't strong enough. I knew that if I hung around with certain friends and certain people, that I was going to fall into the same patterns in my life. I wasn't strong enough. I had too much of an image to hold. I had too many things that held me captive that I wasn't able to be around certain friends because I knew I'd fall into it. So I had to stop hanging around my friends, and I didn't do that great. I know I didn't do that great. But I made a decision because I knew I wasn't strong enough to do it. I was going to fall into, I'll tell you right now, I was going to stop smoking weed again because I loved weed. And I could not stop smoking weed in high school. There wasn't a day went by I didn't smoke a bone. Serious, maybe from junior to senior. Yeah, I couldn't stop smoking weed. And I knew that I tried to hang around once, and there was a full circle. And I was kind of standing in the circle. I wasn't going to smoke. But it came around to me, and I felt like the world stopped for a second. They're like, Joe T, here you go. I was like, no. I felt about 2.5, and I was like, I'm not smoking weed anymore. But I knew if there was a rough week, if there was a rough day, that I would stop pounding that bone again, you know? I knew that I would be sexually immoral. I knew it. I said, if I'm with this crew, I'm going to be sexually immoral. I can't help it. There's too much temptation out there. I can't be around this. I can't be around this. I'm going to fall into sin that way. And I knew that I wouldn't live a life that glorified God. I knew what God was calling me to, so I had to make tough decisions. Now, it might not be that extreme in your life, but of any age, there might be friends in your life or causing you to be sinful. And I'm not saying don't love them, don't care for them, don't pray for them, don't talk to them. I wish I handled it better. I should have handled it better. But I'm saying you might have to make some separation. Say, I can't be fully entrenched in this anymore because I'm sinning. I'm not glorifying God. I'm falling. And so that's the truth. I want to be careful with this because some churches, and this is basically you got saved, they say you can't have any other friends but this church. Right? That's not what I'm saying. Like, it's like you become like just a sect. Like, you know, are they saved? Do they know Ezekiel? No, they don't know Ezekiel. I don't know Ezekiel. I'm not saying that kind of stuff, but there might be some wise decisions you need to make in your life. Say, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this because it's bringing me down and I'm sinning before God. And I need, my priority needs to be honoring God, and it'll cause everything to fall together and work for good after that. What I do want to encourage you to have the deepest, strongest, most enduring relationships are the ones that are rooted in the gospel because you have the most in common, right? There are different things that bring people together, right? During a season of life, maybe sports brought you together with someone. That was a central thing of your community. And I think sports is fine, I'm saying, but it shouldn't be the highest thing that brings a community together. It'd be something that when you go to play to have fun with your friend, you know that. But some people, maybe sports is the thing that brings you together. And once that sport stops, that community goes. It could be weed or alcohol. It could be one of those things, excessive drinking or weed, where the community is built around that. You've seen those communities, right? 420 is the best time of the day. And, you know, I mean, the wear the symbols and everything. That brings that community together. But what is amazing about the church is centered on the gospel. It's a community of people, a community of friends, that should have the deepest relationships because you have the most in common, you have the truth in common, the reality of the person and work of Jesus Christ. You have the same mission, right? That's what brings the, and I keep using sports because it's a great way that friends come together. But what if people are coming together for a championship? We came together. That was the time to come together. How much more is the mission to come together to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many times in being in church you say, I can't believe what God's done in my life, what he's forgiven me of, and where he's taken me from, and how he's changed me? We have the same testimony. God saved us by his grace. I didn't even see this coming. God saved me. I can't believe I believe this. I can't believe my life is changing. We have those conversations. Same destination, right? There's not going to come a day where you have to say bye to everyone because we have the same destination in this life and in the next, eternally with Jesus, with God, enjoying him forever. Those are important relationships in our life. Now, this is where people sometimes just need some advice. Everyone in the church doesn't have to be as close, right? Some people are closer than others, and that's okay. That's natural. Some people have more in common, or they got common experience, they relate, they do this. Like, everyone in this church is not going to be as close, and that's okay. Some of us will be closer than others, but we're all friends. You know, some people, sometimes we get hurt, well, I'm not as close as them, and they're not as close. We all have people we're closer to, but the gospel covers us all, and we love each other, and we need to be friendly with everyone. And that kind of culture people want to be around. I don't care if you're a sinner or a saint, you believe or you don't believe. It's important that people come to a friendly environment and people love each other and they're not judged. And you know that we're built on the gospel because, you know, some churches say, well, this community is built on works, right? So what happens when someone falls? They're not part of the community anymore. They can't be part of the community, right? They weren't good enough to be one of us. If we're going by who's good enough, let's clear all the chairs out and go home, please. Including this brother up here at the pulpit. None of us are good enough. Jesus was good enough, and that's why we can have fellowship. That's why I don't have to look at that person and say, man, look what they did in their life. Look at the decisions they made. I can't be their friend, this and that, this. I can say, wow, Jesus, look what he did on their behalf. Look how he's changed them. Look how he showed them grace. Now I'm looking at the evidence of God's grace in people's life. I want us to be extremely friendly culture here. Now we'll talk about some application in closing. How do you become a good friend, right? Everyone has beef with, there's no good friends in this world. But as a Christian, the first thing we should be asking is, am I a good friend? Am I a good friend to people? Do people say that I'm a good friend to them, that I care for them, that I look out for them, that I encourage them, that I pray for them? So, of course, as a Christian, the first thing we come back to is, how is Jesus a friend? How did he show this? So I want to talk about this, the weight of this, because I think Jesus was God, of course, through Scripture, holy to be worshipped. He was Savior to be revered and to be praised and exalted. But he's also our friend. And I won't take that too lightly, because sometimes people take the God and Savior out just, Jesus is your friend. You want a buddy? No. Like, he's holy, he's God, he's Savior. But he is friend too. He's Savior, and he's our friend. So with my girls, it was important to me that I wasn't that friend dad. You know that friend dad? Like, it don't matter. There's no discipline. There's no nothing. It's just, that's my buddy. Let's do this. You're home. I'm a fun dad, right? So if you're just a fun dad, that's not good. You have to first love them, provide for them, share the gospel with them, show them that you will never leave or forsake them. You're with them. But part of that is also, we're friends. We got chairs in the house. In my house, there's chairs. Thumbs up in the middle, best friends. And we do, it's all crazy, stupid stuff going on in my house. Who's your best friend? I'm your friend. Me and my wife call, hey, friend. And she says it out in public. And I'm like, come on, Allie. That's house stuff. You know, you don't call me friend in public. That's like, that's pillow talk. You know, you don't bring those names. Oh, you know when you slip once in a while? And you, what did he just call her? But they know that I'm their friend too. They know that we have so much in common. We have fun. We play all these different games around the house. As much game as you can do in my little ranch, we have fun doing it because I'm their friend. They have conversations with me. I give them counsel. I give them encouragement. I'm also their friend. Jesus is also your friend, and he can empathize with your struggles and your temptation and your pain and your suffering because he lived a human life. That's absolutely huge. Let me tell you something. Jesus, Peter, Paul, Matthew, they had some laughs. We only got a little book. But if those brothers were hanging out for 3 years, there was some festivities going on. They were having fun. They were joking around. Jesus was an unbelievable friend. The greatest friend being that he laid down his life for his friends. And that's what really the greatest friends do. They say, listen, this takes a lot of sacrifice. There's going to be a lot of pain. There's going to be a lot of suffering. But I'm going to lay my life down for others, for my friends. Secondly, open yourself up to friendships. You think that because my daughters are in school and they talk about social behavior and what needs to happen, some of us need to sit down on social behavior. Some of us need to realize that you got to be friendly. You got to make new friendships. You got to go up to people. You got to talk. You got to move. And I know it's not easy. It's hard for me. I still struggle. Like, I got to make myself go up to people, and you got to have those awkward conversations while you're building a relationship. Like, I hate every moment. It's a nightmare. I hate it. It drives me crazy. But some of us need to understand that. I heard a guy one time say, well, we're getting older. We don't make friends. Young people make friends. No, you should be making friends your whole life. You should be very friendly going up to people and trying to build friendships with people and show them that you want to listen. Thirdly, be a friend of sinners. Be a friend of sinners. Not your primary community, But it is not all right just to hang out with those who are Christians. It's not all right. You should be hanging around with people who don't believe, talking about the gospel, being there for them, going to different places. That's the way Jesus hung out. They couldn't stand with him. They couldn't stand Jesus because they said he hung around with taxpayers, he hung around with robbers, he hung around with drunkards. But he said, I'm a friend of sinners. I'm here to hang around with everyone because everyone is an image bearer of God. We're called to love our enemies. We're called to pray for people. We're called to care for each and every person as a friend. Because friend in Proverbs is synonymous with neighbor. And what's the greatest commandment? To love God and to love others, to love your neighbor. So you got to be intentional about that, about making friendships, about being social, about loving people, not only in the church, but outside the church. And finally, in closing, I just want to read this one verse, which honestly, I think this is my most favorite verse in the Bible. Don't hold me to it. It might be different in April. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Restoration Road, love God with all your heart. Love others. Be a good friend. Make friends. Be a friend of sinners and experience the grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.